The ancient Aryans of antiquity claimed that God works by mathematics. Their prehistoric religion revolved around astrotheology, a belief that combined astrology, alchemy, mysticism, and mathematics. They divided the heavens into 36 constellations, represented by different amulets that were worn by the magi, or magician priests, containing all the numbers from 1 to 36. They claim that these figures allowed them to perform divination, or the ability to foretell future events. These amulets were often made of gold, the metal associated with the sun, revealing the veneration the ancients had for the sun god. They were also thought to have powers of protection for those who carried them. In this example, there's a solar deity on one side, and on the back, there's a depiction of the magic square of the sun, in which all the horizontal and vertical columns add up to 111, and the sum of all lines, vertical or horizontal, combine to make 666. In the Kabbalistic context of Gematria, 666 represents light, but was vilified by subsequent organized religions. The magic square of the sun was revered in antiquity because all of the symbolism it possessed involving the perfect number 6. There are 6 sides to a cube. The numbers 1, 2, and 3, when added or multiplied together, are equal to 6. And the sum of all the numbers from 1 to 36, arranged in a 6x6 square, are equal to the number 666. And after the church became the state religion of the Roman Empire, possessing this diagram could get you burned at the stake. The earliest Christians were converted pagans. One of the arguments the early church used to convert pagans to Christianity was that Jesus Christ had more solar attributes than any other god. The word Jesus is derived from the Greek Jesus, a Greek translation of the Aramaic Yeshua. Greek letters not only stand for certain sounds, but they also have numerical values, and the name Jesus translated to the number 888. 8 is the symbol of infinity, and 888 is also based on the magic square of the sun. The circled numbers on the magic square form the Greek letters X, which is the sign of Christ. There are 12 numbers that make up the X, which could be equated to the 12 apostles, and if you add up all of the numbers of the X, you get 222. When added to the 666, total is 888, the number of Jesus, the sun behind the sun. When the Christian church or Roman Empire came along, the practices and beliefs of the Babylonian religion followed right into the church. The 3 supreme gods of the Babylonian religion were simply renamed as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Lesser gods became saints of the church, and many of the occult Babylonian or pagan practices were adopted as well. I know that this doesn't sit well with some Catholics, but even Catholic historians admit it. Cardinal Newman, in his Development of Christian Doctrine on page 372, says that the church incorporated many pagan religious practices into the church, claiming that the church sanctified them and that made it safe to bring these practices into the church. Which brings us to Hippocrates, the Greek and Egyptian sun god during the Hellenistic times, the period between the death of Alexander the Great and the fall of Cleopatra, or the start of the Roman era. While the Egyptians regarded the full-grown Horus as the victorious god of the sun, who each day overcomes darkness, Hippocrates was the child version of Horus, who personifies the newborn sun each day at dawn, the first strength of the winter sun, and also the image of early vegetation. He's depicted as a young boy with his finger to his mouth, which is regarded as a sign of secrecy or silence, which I'll get to in a moment. His mother was the goddess Isis and is often represented seated on her lap, which to many scholars is reminiscent of the Christian iconography of the Madonna and Child. Harpocrates is also frequently shown seated upon a lotus flower, especially on magical gems and solar amulets, which often contain this mysterious formula. These words have no meaning in any ancient language, but they're not without meaning. That's because when added together, the value of the letters are equivalent to the number 9999. Some insight into the relevance of this number can be gained from the Paris Magical Papyrus from the early 4th century, which attributes the number 9999 to another formula, which is shown to mean Agathos Daemon, or the good spirit. In what is known as the Berlin Magical Papyrus, there's a line addressing Apollo that says, quote, "I am the one who met you, and you gave me a gift of the greatest value. The name of you is knowledge, or gnosis. The number is 9999. So this number, 9999, that appears on solar amulets was deemed, like the number of Jesus, 888, and the sum of the magic square of the sun, 666, to have solar esoteric significance. That said, in Egyptian mathematics, the pointing index finger represents the number 10,000, which speaks to the rounded up solar sign 9999 of Hippocrates. Incidentally, in palmistry, the index finger is known as the Jupiter finger, the planet that traverses the 12 houses of the zodiac along the ecliptic during its 12-year orbit around the sun. That said, the guarded secret that is at the root of the cult of Hippocrates and the esoteric core of all other solar-based mystery religions involves sacred tantric methods of attaining a direct personal relationship with the divine. These ancient occult techniques stretch back into prehistory and predate all modern religions of the Holocene, with their priests, rabbis, imams, popes, and gurus, rendering them all obsolete, along with their tithes, a religious tax that means tenth, as in the 10% of your yearly salary that you're expected to contribute to a given religious establishment. In this context, one can see why an emphasis on personal spiritual knowledge above the orthodox teachings, traditions, and authority of religious institutions might be vilified and regarded as a threat to a totalitarian power structure that demands absolute obedience, so much so that it doesn't think twice to torture, maim, and burn alive alleged heretics for daring to cut out the middleman, taking their spiritual salvation into their own hands. Gnosis means knowledge, and not the kind that comes from books, but that's inspired from within. That said, Gnosticism is not a single, standardized system, but instead, like shamanism, places the emphasis on direct experience that allows for a wide variety of teachings in an effort to facilitate healing, improve one's creativity, increase vitality, and commune directly with what one perceives as God or goddess. These esoteric teachings come in the form of instructions on how to attain altered states of consciousness, such as a euphoric trance, which gives the adept or practitioner access to their own subconscious mind, or to the collective unconscious, where inspiration or divine insight on a given subject is allegedly available, and one is free to realize the ancient maxim, "Know thyself." That said, also inscribed on ancient walls of the sacred temple of Delphi was the maxim, "Nothing in excess," which is all but forgotten by modern secret societies and occult mystery schools, which seem to have hoarded esoteric knowledge only to abuse it, where the goal of uplifting and liberating mankind set forth by the ancient alchemists and magicians is being betrayed, and replaced with degeneracy, control, and enslavement. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.